Have your Bibles this morning. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Colossians. I'd like to ask you to please look at God's holy word as we read from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We'll be looking primarily this morning at the first two verses. I know you can probably quote these by heart, but there are some very important lessons. I've seen more truth in these two verses than I have ever before. And I thank the Lord for His holy word. Thank God for His Spirit that makes His word alive and real to our hearts and minds. And then would ask all of you to pray that God will bless His word to be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it will bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the word of God, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we thank You for the bountiful blessings of life. We know that Thou hast been so good to every one of us here today that You've blessed us beyond measure. And we thank You, Lord, for the bountiful blessings of life, the natural blessings, the food, clothing, and shelter, and all the necessities of life, and all the other bountiful blessings that You've bestowed upon us. But we thank You most of all for the spiritual blessings. We thank You, Lord, to know that one day we're going to be carried home to be with Thee forever in that home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, where there'll be no more sorrow, sickness, no more pain, and no more death. We look forward to the time that we shall see Thee face to face and be able to give Thee the praise, honor, and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. We thank You, Father, for sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. Thank You, Jesus, for leaving the riches and portals of heaven. Thank You for leaving that and coming down into this low ground of sin and sorrow, and for living an absolutely perfect life. We thank You for setting an example for us. We thank You for the way that You were willing to suffer on the cross of Calvary and be put to death. We thank You for the shame and reproach that You were willing to endure. And we thank You, Lord, that You arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave, that You defeated Satan. We thank You, Lord, for the great victory that took place that day when You rose from the grave, even the victory that took place when You died on the cross. We pray now that You would help us all, that You would guide and direct us by Your Spirit, that Thy Holy Word would be our teacher. Lord, we pray that You would bless those that are growing cold and lukewarm and indifferent towards Your word and the truth of Your word. We pray that You would bless those that are more interested in other things. We pray that You would help us all, that we would do as we're going to try to read and study this day. We know that every one of us, that we need to try harder to set our affections on things above rather than on things of the earth. Help us now, teach us and instruct us. We pray that You would bless those who are providentially hindered, those that are sick and afflicted and unable to be in Thy house. We pray that You would be with them this day and that You would help them. You would bless those that are sick, that they would be healed, that You would touch their bodies and lift them up. We beg Thy blessings also upon those who have lost loved ones. Pray that You would comfort and bless them and help those families, that they would feel the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to look very closely at Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Though the expression in verse 1 and the expression in verse 2 will sound similar, there is a major difference in verses 1 and 2, and yet they are inseparable. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Notice what He says here. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Then in verse 2 He says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." And that's what I want us to think about, is the two expressions. First of all, He says, "Seek those things which are above." And then in the second verse, He says, "Set your affection on things which are above." Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We're going to begin primarily with verse 2 and then back up to verse 1. Verse 2, he says, set your affection. And when we talk about setting our affection on something, we're talking about loving. That's what setting our affection means. Means to love. Set your affection on things above. Now, I believe that as born-again children of God, I believe that I have a decision to make about what I set my affections on. I still have the flesh to contend with, and I can let the flesh rule and reign in my life, and if that happens, then I'm going to have my affection on things on the earth. I'm going to love, set my affection. Do you think that sometimes you love the things of this world? Now the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, love, that means set your affection, love not, tell us what not to set our affections on, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You think it's all right to love your truck? How many of you have ever seen a sign that says, I love my truck? And many other things, and of course we're so good we wouldn't wear a sign on our truck that says, I love my truck. But did you know we might not come out and actually say it, but I believe that every one of us has things in the earth, things on the earth that we love more than we should. That we set our affection sometimes on things on the earth instead of on things above. So the warning from God here is that we're not to set our affections on things on the earth, but we're to set our affection on things above. We're not to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The things that are in the world are sometimes idols or gods in our lives. They become more important than they ought to be. I can let my house, I can let my car, I can let hunting or fishing or any other thing, golfing, anything, can become a god in my life. And what might be important to me might not be important to you. What I set my affections on that I ought not to set my affections on, they may not be a problem at all for you. But I believe that the devil knows every one of our weaknesses, and the devil is going to tempt you and tempt me to set my affection on things on the earth instead of on things above. Why? Because as long as my affections are on the things of this world, as long as my thoughts are centered on the things of this world, my affections cannot be on God. In fact, the way the Word of God continues there in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, after it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What does that mean? That means that while I'm loving the things of this world, I am not and I cannot be loving the things of God. When my affection are on things of the world, when my heart, mind, and desire, and thoughts, when I'm being consumed with the things of this earth, God will punish me for that. God will not allow His people. Our God is a jealous God. And we let things of the world become so important in our lives that we let them consume our thinking and our minds and our affections. We might say, oh, I don't really love it. We wouldn't wear a sign that says, I love it. But the fact is, we love the things of the world. And God says here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. While I am loving the things of the world, I am not loving my Father. So what's the first thing he says in Colossians 3:1? What did he say in Colossians 3:1? What's the difference in Colossians 3:1 and 3:2? Colossians 3:1, what does he say to do? He says in Colossians 3:1, seek those things which are above. Now, if my affection is on those things above, now you may differ with this, but it's not really that important. You might say, well, now, do I need to seek those things which are above? Or do I need to set my affection on things above? Which one comes first? Do you set your affection on things above and then seek them? Or do you seek those things which are above and then You set your affection on them. I'm not going to argue that point. I just want you to see as we go along, the Word of God says to do both. That you're to seek those things which are above, and you are to set your affection on those things which are above. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 6. We're first going to be looking at seeking those things that are above. Before we begin to really study that, somebody tell me, what are some things that are above? The Bible says here in Colossians 3:2, seek those things, or 3:1, seek those things which are above. And Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above. What are the things that are above? What are some things above that you think that God would have us to set our affection on? What are things above, Brother Robbie? The kingdom of heaven, that's one. Somebody tell me something else. That's something that's above that we are to seek and set our affection on. The kingdom is one. What's something else? Christ. Christ is above, isn't He? We need to seek Christ. We need to seek God. We need to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the kingdom. And we need to seek the King of the kingdom. We need to seek the Lord. What are some other things that are above? Set your affection. Seek those things which are above. If we don't know what the things are that are above, then we can't seek them. If we don't know what the things are that are above, we can't set our affections on them. The kingdom is one. Jesus is, or God is something else. What else is above that we need to love and set our affection on and seek?
Love.
Love, yes. Love, godly love, true love. We need to seek love. And some might say, well, God gives us love. Yes, but that love is to be developed. Charity. Doesn't matter if you are born of the Spirit of God. Charity might not be a part of your life, and you need to seek charity. You need to seek charity to be a part of your life. What else are some things that are above? Faith. You need to seek faith. We need to pray, God, give me more faith. Increase my faith. Help me to exercise my faith. Seek more faith. Seek more trust in God. What else is above? Wisdom. Wisdom is... There's a worldly wisdom, and the Bible teaches that we ought to be seeking wisdom that's from above. Now, there are many, many other things. We're not going to take the time right now to go through all of them, but we want to look at a few scriptures that clearly identify. Now, here is one of those things that's above the things of the earth. It's better than the things of the earth. It's higher than the things of the earth. It's more noble than the things of the earth. You remember how Peter, they were about to eat fish, and Peter was asked this question by Jesus. He says, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Do you remember that? "Lovest thou me more than these?" In other words, do you love me? Is your affection more on me or on the things of this world? What are we setting our affection on? Do you determine whether or not you set your affection? Sometimes people say, well, I just fell in love. It just happened. Let me tell you something, brethren. You set your affection on things. That's what you love. You determine what you love. A born-again child of God has a choice of either they can still love the things of the world because they still have the flesh, or they can love, set their affections on things above, things better, things higher, things more noble, things godly, things that please the Lord. That's what we need to seek, and that's what we need to set our affections on. If your affections are on things of the world, guess what's going to happen? Trouble's going to come, and God's going to show you that He will not allow you to set your affection on things of the earth. God will not allow you, if you're a child of God and you set your affection on things of the earth, God will bring it clearly to your mind. He'll show you that you have sought those things that are of the earth. You have loved those things of the earth. You let the things of the earth become more important than the things of God. And when that happens, your life will be destroyed. Because God will not allow you to set your affection on things of the earth. Look now at Matthew 6. One of the first things that someone mentioned was the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 6, we're talking about the Word of God says, seek those things which are above. The Word of God says, set your affection on things above. In Matthew chapter 6, I want to begin with verse 25. Matthew 6, 25 and 26. Have you ever known anybody that had their job as their God? You ever had your job as your God? The job was number one. Job took precedence over church, took precedence over your family. The job was your God. You ever been there? Most men have that problem, that the job becomes their God. They love their job more than they love their family. Now, what excuse do they use? Oh, I'm working to do what? I'm working to provide for my family. In reality, they're working to get all the things of the world they want, the things they love, the material things. They're not working to provide the necessities of life. They're not working to just provide food, clothing, and shelter for their family. They're not providing the love and the time that they ought to spend with their spouse and with their children. They love their job, and they love material things more than they love God. That's reality. Matthew chapter 6, listen to verse 25. Matthew 6, 25 says, therefore, Jesus is speaking. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air. Look at the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Who feeds the birds? Your heavenly Father feedeth them. He says, think about the birds. Look at the birds. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Are you worth more than the birds? Did you know that one child of God, listen carefully, there are a lot of people that put animals up on the same level as men, and that some people even put animals above the level of men. And that's completely contrary to what God's Word teaches. All the birds and animals of this world are not worth the life of one child of God. Did you know that? You take all the birds in the world. Does God feed the birds? Does God care about the birds? Ought we to be careful about how we treat the animal and the plant kingdom? Certainly we should. But God gave man dominion over all those things of the earth. Man is far superior. Man alone is made in the image of God. And yet as a nation, we have elevated the plant and animal kingdom above man. What a disgrace to the truth of God's Word we're carrying out. We love the things of the world more than we love God. We love baby birds, and we love baby eagles, and we love baby whales, and we love baby sea cows, and we love baby seals, and we love baby everything more than we love baby humans. That's reality in America today. We will kill baby humans, but we try to save everything else that's a baby. We love the things of the world more than we love the things of God. The things that are in the world are not created in the image of God. Man is created in the image of God. Are you to love your family? Are you supposed to love your family? Yes, you are. A man that provides not for his own household, that's not providing everything they want or everything the children cry and scream they want to have. A man that provides not the food, clothing, and shelter that he ought to provide for his own household, that man is worse than an infidel. A man that will not work, if he's too lazy to work, that man ought not to eat. It's wrong to support people that don't want to work. But don't let your work, don't let your job take precedence over your family and your service to God. Does God know you have need of the food, clothing, and shelter? Does God know that? Has God promised He'll take care of your financial needs? Has God? Yes, He will. Come down to Matthew 6, verse 31. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. He says, therefore, take no thought. That means don't worry. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles... What's the next word? Seek. What do the Gentiles seek? food, clothing, shelter, material things. They seek those things. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek, you hear verse 6:33, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Everything you need, God has promised that everything you need will be provided for you if you seek those things which are above. And one of those things He clearly, emphatically says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then everything you need will be added unto you. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? You believe God will provide what He's promised He'll provide? Isn't God wonderful? Yes, He is. Isn't it wonderful that when people get too old, that God's going to take care of them? David said, I was young and I'm now old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. Capital I-F. If what? Who is it that God has said He will take care of? Who is it that God says He will provide for? Those who seek those things which are above. Those who set their affections on things which are above. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's a promise from God. Seek it. Every day when you get up, seek the kingdom of heaven. Every moment, all during the day, as you're working, you can still be seeking the kingdom of heaven. You can set your affection on things of heaven. You will work harder, and you will be a better employee if you're seeking God and seeking to please God. And if everything you're doing on your job, you're doing it as unto the Lord, and you're thinking about God, if you're doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men, you will be the best employee at work. You will be superior. You will be a superior employee if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You won't neglect your job. I worked one time in the business world, and I had a man that was, I was paying him, and every time he went out, he was talking about the Lord. Now, he was not selling, he was not doing his job, he was not doing what he was supposed to do. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And I told him, he said, you just don't care if I talk about the Lord. I said, I do care. I said, it's wrong for you to talk about the Lord in place of you doing what you're being paid to do. As you're stealing from me and you're stealing from this company as long as you're being paid to get out there and work and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. I said, you're not being a Christian and you're not pleasing God when you're not functioning on the job and performing the duties that you're being paid to perform. But I believe with all of my heart that when you're out there working, I don't care if you're digging ditches, I don't care what it is you're doing, if you're doing it as unto the Lord, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God while you're working, if you're saying, Lord, help me, Lord, give me the strength, Lord, guide me, while you're working on your job, you better be thinking about God while you're working. Otherwise, you're going to find that little G-O-D. That little G-O-D of J-O-B is going to fall and fail you. But if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will provide everything you need. Can you be a good railroad employee and still seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Yes, you can. Seek first. Seek. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Go with me to James chapter 1. We're talking about things above. Now, if I seek those things above, if I seek those things which are above, then who is it that's going to give me those things that I'm seeking from above? Do you hear the question? Do you understand the question? If I'm seeking those things which are above,
Who is it that's going to give me those things which are from above? For example, we just mentioned, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, who is it that's going to give you the kingdom of God and His righteousness? God, Jesus Christ. You remember in the book of Luke, the Word of God says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You follow that? Now, where did the kingdom come from? Where did the kingdom come from? It came down from God, out of heaven. It came from God. It came down out of heaven. It's called the kingdom of heaven because it came down out of heaven. It's called the kingdom of God because it came down from God. It's something that's above. It's something the world knows nothing about. But those who are born of the Spirit of God, if they seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, God will bless them to dwell in the kingdom of heaven while they live every day. Not just on Sunday, but every day you can dwell in the kingdom of heaven. Now, you go ahead and seek the things of the world if you want to, but I want you to know your little world is going to come falling down. Your world will crash. You'll be destroyed if you put the things of the world above the things of God. James 1, verse 17. Listen carefully. James 1, verse 17. The Word of God says, every good gift, now we're talking about great things. We're talking about things above. We're talking about good gifts. I give you a $100 bill, Brother Mike. Would you appreciate that? Sure. But those are just natural blessings, see? There's something better than a $100 bill. There's something better than money. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Now, you can divide that up a lot of different ways. I'm not going to argue that point right now. But I just want you to know that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Every blessing that we have, every good gift that you have, every perfect gift that you have, every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. What do we need to be seeking? Those things which are above. And if you seek those things which are above, what will happen? What will come down? You remember back there, I read Matthew 6. I forgot to go on into Matthew 7. Matthew 7 says that Jesus says, ask and ye shall what? Receive. Seek and ye shall find. If you seek those things which are above, guess what you will find? The promise from Jesus there is if you seek those things which are above, you'll find those things which are from above. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What does the devil tell people today from that passage of Scripture? Ask for riches and you'll get them. Seek those riches. Put your affection on them. Seek gold, seek silver, seek money. Put that first and God will give it to you. He's promised He'll give it to you. I'll tell you, come on round. That's Matthew 7:7. You come down, I call it the 7:11 passage. You come down to verse 11 and verse 11 says, let me read it to you. Matthew 7:11. We're going to come right back here to James 1. But in Matthew 7:11, the Word of God says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much will your heavenly Father give what? Not here. Matthew 7:11. Matthew 7:11, He doesn't say the Holy Spirit. Luke, He does. Yes, He says, Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give what? Good things. Give what? Good things. Seek those things which are above. Give good things to them that ask Him. What are the good things? Now, the devil wants you to think that's the material things. That's not the truth of God's Word. Because then if you take this same day in the life of Jesus and you turn to Luke chapter 11 and you hear the words there, He explains one of the good things that He will give. He says, if ye, same quote, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's Luke 11 and verse 13. What do you better seek? What is it God's told us to seek? Seek what? Seek those things which are above. Is the Holy Spirit up here or down here? It's up here. Seek the Holy Spirit. Do you need to seek the Holy Spirit? Every morning when you get up, I wrote a letter this week to one of our ministers, and I said, one of the most important things for you to do every morning is you get up and you say, God, give me your Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need to ask for the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? I'm not talking about getting born again. I'm talking about walking in communion and fellowship with God each day. What is the kingdom of heaven? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Ghost. I need to ask for the Holy Spirit. He gives the Holy Spirit to them that what? Ask Him. Why do we receive not? Because we what? Because we ask not. What are we not doing? We're not seeking those things which are above. We're not setting our affection on things above, but we're seeking the things of the earth. To be carnally minded is, fill in the blank, for to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. James 1 now. James 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where do all those good gifts and perfect gifts, what are those things that are above, where do they come from? They come down from the Father. Now look at James 3, verse 17. James 3, one of those things that someone mentioned earlier that's from above is wisdom. Wisdom. Let me say, all you parents that have children, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. You need wisdom as much as anything in the world. You need wisdom more than you need money. I'm saying that to every parent here. You need wisdom more than you need money. Well, how are you going to get wisdom? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's James 1:5, but now come down to James 3:17. In James chapter 3, he's contrasting worldly wisdom with godly wisdom. James 3, verse 17. James chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but the wisdom that is, what are the next two words there? The wisdom that is from above. Seek those things which are what? Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Here's something that is above. It comes from above. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Did you know that if you have wisdom, that you will be willing to be taught and instructed? Did you know that? Now, some people refuse to be taught. They already know how to do things right. They have more wisdom than you. Have you ever seen a teenager that knew more than their parents? Has anybody ever seen a teenager that knew more than the parents? Okay. Any of you ever seen a Christian that got to that level of spiritual maturity, that got out of that little baby stage, that got to spiritual maturity, they got a little wisdom, they got a little understanding, they got a little knowledge, and they turn into a spiritual teenager, and they know more than anybody. They're going to do what they want to do, and they're going to do what they think God's telling them to do. Even if it contradicts God's Word, they're still going to do what they think is right. A lot of teenagers get killed because they're doing what they think they can do. You can't do it. A person that has wisdom is easily taught. They're going to be taught. They're going to listen. They're going to want instruction. They're going to want instruction from somebody who has a lot of spiritual understanding and knowledge and wisdom. All of you young people, if you're not seeking your parents' counsel and guidance, if you're not seeking wisdom from your parents, if you're not seeking some understanding from your parents, you don't have wisdom. You just don't have wisdom. If you have godly parents, if you don't have godly parents, you need to get you some godly parents to adopt. But you need somebody that has wisdom to seek their guidance from. Seek those things which are above. Seek wisdom. Let me just mention two things in closing. Help, H-E-L-P. You know, help is something you need. Psalm 121, verse 1, David says, I will lift up mine. Now, why is he going to lift up his eyes? Yeah, it's something from above. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my, what? My help. My help comes from the Lord who created heaven and earth. Do you need help? Do you need wisdom? Do you need some things that are from above? Do you need some things better than things of the world? Do you need wisdom other than worldly wisdom? Do you need help other than help from men and money and doctors? If you need help, go to God. Seek help from God. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things which are above. Let me just close by saying, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Thank you, sister. That sister said, that's the best one. Seek the Lord. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord. Now, we're talking about things above still. We're talking about setting our affection on things above. You need to love Jesus. Can you set your affection on Jesus? Can you love Jesus? Can you love Jesus more than you love anybody or anything? I hadn't seen that movie. What was that movie that we were looking at yesterday? Facing the Giants. I hadn't seen that in a long time. And it's not all correct, but I'm telling you there's a lot of good teachings in that little movie, Facing the Giants. And that couple just kept depending on the Lord, trusting in the Lord, doing what was right, just doing what was right. They weren't absolutely perfect, but I'm telling you, they set their affections on things above rather than on things of the earth. And guess who took care of them? Guess who provided him with everything he needed? If you haven't seen that movie, I encourage you to look at it. Just understand there's going to be some bones you spit out, but there's a lot of good meat there with that fish. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not, N-O-T, not on things of the earth. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.